Hi, folks. This is Dana Lash for the Headrest Safe, a pioneering innovation in automotive security. The Headrest Safe company embarked on this journey in 2022, revolutionizing vehicle safety. It all started with a father's concern after the birth of his daughter and the dissatisfaction with his own truck's gun box, which ignited the creation of the Headrest Safe. But it's not just for firearms. It provides invisible security for all of your valuables. The Headrest Safe is strategically placed on the passenger side headrest facing the driver, and accessing your items is a breeze, with a magnetic door opening in just 2.5 to 3.5 seconds. Seamless integration into your vehicle's interior is remarkable. I've witnessed it myself, and it blends in seamlessly. The Headrest Safe caters to anyone seeking secure and accessible in-vehicle storage. Experience this innovation at headrestsafe.com and use code Dana for an exclusive $50 off. That's headrestsafe.com, code Dana for $50 off. The Headrest Safe, transforming the way we protect our valuables and vehicles with a 100% money-back guarantee.
We have, since almost the very beginning hours of this conflict, talked about the need to respect civilian life, talk about abiding by the laws of war, cautioned and urged our Israeli counterparts to be careful how they conduct these operations so that they minimize civilian casualties. Hamas, on the other hand, uses civilians to hide behind. They actually put the civilians out in front. Rather than protecting civilians, they're putting civilians at greater danger. And I would tell you this about Russia and Ukraine. Atrocities against the Ukrainian people, that's part of Putin's war aims. That's built into his strategy. Look at what he did in Bucha. I mean, that, you know, killing innocent, slaughtering innocent Ukrainians, that's part of their strategy inside Ukraine. That is not what we're seeing from Israel.
So the latest, the buildup there on the border, and we've got more details about that as they very, it's a very slow process. It's not something that's going to happen super fast. It's something that's going to go very, very, very slowly, because you have to get, the ground ready. I mean, you've got to basically take out a bunch of enemy combatants before you put your ground forces at risk. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash here, top of this first hour on Monday, and there's a lot of stuff, developments on this end, at least, to get into. And then, of course, we have some of the latest with what you may have missed in terms of developments with Maine over the weekend. That killer found dead, self-inflicted. We're going to get into all of that. We have culture. We have a whole bunch of stuff to touch on. But some of the very latest, you guys remember the I think this was one of the first videos, actually, that came out of one of the kidnapped individuals, one of the kidnapped Israelis, Shani Luke. And she was one of the revelers at the peace concert that on October 7th, that all of the paragliders and everybody else, you know, the Hamas terrorists, that when they paraglided in, they were shooting people and kidnapping people and all of that. That video of her there was a video of her in the back of a truck with her legs, I guess they were broken, and they found her beheaded. That was, I think, hers was one of the first hostage stories that came out, and she was kidnapped from Israel. She lived in Germany. She has an Israeli mother, German father, and she had been kidnapped from that electronic festival, and they were parading her body, and it wasn't even known then if she was actually alive or not, but they were parading her body on the back of a truck. And the efforts to confirm whether she was, because how many days has this been? I mean, it's been 20 something days. Yeah. They literally just found her body. And when I say they found her body, it was not, she didn't have a head on it. They beheaded her. So I'm curious, and I asked Twitter this question. I'm just curious, what kind of freedom is Gaza's elected government, Hamas, fighting for that they think it's acceptable to behead revelers at a literal peace festival? I mean, what is that? This is unreal. And honestly, you kind of knew that it was going to happen. I hate saying that. I don't want to say that, but you knew it was going to end up this way. You knew that they were going to find her dead. I mean, it is just sad. But you knew that this was going to happen. And that's unfortunately with a lot of these hostages. I keep seeing these stories of these hostages, and I keep wondering how many are going to actually come home alive. I just saw a video of like three women. One of them was an older woman. I'm just wondering, you know, how many of them are going to come home alive? It's a big question. But this girl, they found her body. They found her skull, is what the German media had been told. They found her skull. Her family had been waiting for news to see whether or not she survived. And they killed her. Just horrific. And I honestly think that she was dead when they were showing her body on the back of the truck, because the way her legs were bent, she was just, I think that it's been a while. Just heartbreaking. There are tons of these stories. In the meantime, as Israel expands their ground assault, there were calls for an everyone for everyone exchange for hostages. And you can't do that, because then that means that you cannot have this unaccountable aggression anymore, because it's always been Hamas gets by because they never have to live up to their accountability. Every time they get hit back, they cry about it. And then Israel's told to stand down. So they've had airstrikes. Did you see some of the video also of the weekend where you had this one guy who's been in all of these Hamas videos? He's like this great actor over in Palestine. Have you seen him? Like, he's the great actor over in the fake country called Palestine. He's like this great actor now over there. It's crazy. He's been in all these videos. He's been, I don't know how many different ER patients. He was in another video where he was showing stuff about a bombed area in Gaza. This is some of the propaganda that they put out there. Meanwhile, the tanks are getting closer. They're advancing on two sides of the main city in the territory. They've had bulldozers clearing out rubble, so tanks get a little closer. It's an aerial assault. But it's going to be that tunnel network that's going to be horrific. And we've talked about that before. So we'll kind of see what happens, but it's still going, I mean, slowly but sure. And they said it's going to take months. Hamas, their commander, has stated that their mission was to kill all Jews and Christians. He went on television and said this. He had said that he wants to cleanse the entire world of Jews and Christians. So this is the commander for Gaza's elected government, Hamas. He says, we're not talking about, I'm quoting him verbatim, we're not talking about liberating our land alone. He's talking about his prophet. And he says that they mean for everybody, the ends of the world. And he talks about how it's not just Jews in Israel, it's Jews and Christians everywhere, is what he had said. He said this himself. So that's Gaza's elected government's commander. Now, I don't know, another video that came out over the weekend, they had people who had been leaving Israel. There was a flight full of Israeli Jews, apparently, that was going to land in the Russian Republic of Dagestan. And the word spread in the area that a flight was coming out from Tel Aviv. And they broke, apparently a crowd showed up, broke past barriers and stormed the airstrip in search of Jewish passengers. They stormed the airstrip in search of Jewish passengers. Videos emerged showing the rioters yelling their chants. Aloha snack bar. They were seeking to intercept the offboarding passengers from the flight. That's pretty wild. They just ran out there. They just stormed the terminal and they went onto the tarmac. Some reports say the aircraft that was surrounded was actually full of Russian citizens. And the people who showed up were telling the press that they are against Jewish refugees, et cetera, et cetera. Interesting. They've blocked. In the meantime, in Gaza, Hamas has blocked foreign nationals from leaving. People have been asked to sign up to fight for Hamas. There was there's all kinds of stuff. The foreign nationals that were blocked from leaving. This is from the Telegraph that had reported this originally. They were trying to stop British people from leaving Gaza. They said that Britain was trying to work all weekend to rescue trapped citizens as civil disorder and looting broke out. Officials said that Israel and Egypt, Egypt's still not really entirely allowing people to come in at the Rafah crossing. And there's a reason why. There's a reason why they don't want Gazans coming in. Apparently, it's okay if literally every other Arab nation, you would think that they would want to help their Arab neighbors, right? And take these refugees. I'm just not going to hear about any kind of power jockeying or conflict with any of these Arab nations over Israel when they won't even take in any refugees coming in from Gaza. They had 200 British citizens that had been registered with UK authorities, and they said that they were trying to get a bunch of them out, and Hamas is refusing to let people leave. They said, no, you have to meet our demands. Now, see, this is when I would bomb the ever-loving hell out of them and let the Lord sort it out. But you have to meet our, you don't get to ask for demands at this point. In the meantime, stateside, Cornell students were told to avoid the kosher dining hall. Jewish students have been living in fear because we need to bring back bullying. And because college kids on a bunch of these college campuses who think that they can go around and be anti-Semite bullies need their asses beat. There's not enough bullying anymore. Oh, no, I said it. There ought to be. You shouldn't be able to walk around and intimidate people. Where are all the whole coexist people at? Where are all those people at? Notice how all the coexist people who are totally fine with driving around with those stupid stickers on their stupid EVs, going and spending their whole stupid paychecks at stupid Whole Foods. All these people are fine screaming and yelling about that when they think it's towards Christians that aren't going to behead them. But by God, man, if you start talking about Gaza or Hamas, man, they don't want to make Hamas apologists mad. So they just target Jewish students. Jewish students are apparently afraid to leave their dorms. They said that in Harvard, they're afraid. I have a very dear friend who's got kids at two different colleges on the East Coast. If your kids don't have to go to college, don't send them to these hellscapes. But they said at Cornell, they're getting death threats. Remember, Cornell's where you had a professor who said he was, quote, exhilarated by Hamas's slaughter of Israelis. He ought to have had his ass beat right there. I'd have paid for that. I'd have paid bail for whoever did that. I'm tired of this. You know what? Here's the problem. Barbarism is allowed to flourish because people have convinced themselves that we're a peaceful species and we're not. My friend Kurt Schlichter has one of the best pieces. I'm going to read it to you coming up. It is a fabulous piece that you need to hear because this idea of kittens and sunshine and glitter and rainbows is all a pipe dream that was sold to you by communists who want to subjugate you into oppression. That's all what this is. I'm like looking at this story about Cornell. There's no way I would have been in fights every single day. I would have been kicking people in the neck and punching their teeth out every single day over this stuff. Because you know what? Barbarism, if you want to be a barbarian, then treat barbarians like barbarians. We got a lot more to get into because that's just not even the first part of the second. And we've got the lays of the Bidens. There's more money or more information coming out about this loan that was given to Hunter from a Chinese executive during the 2020 campaign. We got to discuss this. And Maine. Guess what? Cops visited this murderer's home just a few weeks before the massacre. How many threats did it take? Where are all them red and yellow flag laws? Where are all those ERPO orders that all these gun control lobby's been talking about? Not a single damn gun control law worked. Not a single one. What happens when we die? From Angel Studios, the force behind Sound of Freedom and The Chosen comes an unprecedented deep dive into the phenomena of near-death experiences in the new movie After Death. After Death makes a courageous venture into a hotly debated, mysterious subject by comparing near-death experience with cutting-edge scientific knowledge. Hear from experts in the fields of science, philosophy, and medicine, as well as firsthand experiences of people who have lived through death as they paint a fascinating picture of life in the next realm. realm. This groundbreaking project responds to the soul's innate desire to find meaning in life and solace in the future. Come see it for yourself or pay it forward by providing a free ticket for others to see the film. Leave your preconceptions at the door and prepare for a never-before-seen glimpse into what the next life could entail in After Death, opening October 27th. Get your tickets today or pay it forward at angel.com/Dana. That's angel.com/Dana. After Death, the end is only the beginning. Rated PG-13.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Matthew Perry, the Friends star, dead at age 54, found in a hot tub in his L.A. home. The star apparently went and played pickleball, passed out while he was playing pickleball, and then passed out after he played pickleball. He left early in the middle. He played it for like 4 hours, left in the middle of his match, went back, and then apparently like drowned in his hot tub. It's horrible. He had just gotten sober. He came out with a memoir earlier this year and was saying that friends were saying that he had gotten clean and sober. He had prescription medications, but the toxicology report isn't yet part of it. So we're going to see. UAW reaches a deal with GM to end the auto worker strike. The union's now zeroing in on non-unionized plants like Tesla's after grinding to a halt. Musk, in the meantime, has offered Starlink the internet for recognized aid organizations in Gaza. Kind of interesting. And he's getting some criticism of that because they're wondering about whether or not the organizations in Gaza are actually Hamas-backed organizations. And the worst October for stocks in 5 years has investors exiting the market. The worst October. They said that the stocks are on the brink of their worst October in 5 years. Every other bond market's having a, it's just in a mess. For equity, bulls conditioned to dive in at any sign of weakness. They say it's getting to be way too much. Surveys of professional managers are showing big money allocations. They've cut their equities to levels last seen at the depths of the 2022 bear market. So this is bad. It's not getting any worse at all whatsoever. And Maine has begun the mourning process. They've had people go out, more than 1,000 people paid tribute to Maine's victims on a day of prayer, rejection, and hope. We have a lot more on the way, the latest with the ground invasion and more. Stick with us.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle Ready-to-Drink Coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
That threat's rising, Poppy. No question about it. I mean, in 2022, there were more anti-Semitic events in this country than there had been since 1979. And this year, in 23, we continue to see that rise. It's dangerous. It's unacceptable. Anywhere in the world, certainly here in the United States of America. And so what we're doing is we're working very closely at a federal level with state and local authorities to be able to better identify threats to the Jewish community and disrupt them before they can actually take action. We're working on that very, very hard. Now, there's obviously also a rise in anti-Muslim hate and activity as well. We're watching that very, very closely. But this is unacceptable.
Wait, where is that coming from? I've not seen that literally at all. I've literally not seen that anywhere. So where is that coming from? When he says that, that's John Kirby, by the way. And he was asked about the rise, what we're just talking about, in anti-Semitic threats and hate that have been leveled towards Jewish students, particularly college universities, And the whole, I mean, just the stuff that we saw over the weekend, like with Cornell and everything else. Why is he, well, you know, there's obviously also a rise in anti-Muslim. There's nobody who's just like, oh, I hate Muslims. Now, people are saying that they hate Hamas, and that's fine, but there's literally nobody who's out there going, I hate Muslims. I'm so tired of this whataboutism. It's like they feel like they have to do this because heaven forbid you talk too much about what's happening with Jewish people. You know, heaven forbid you talk a little too much about the hatred that they're experiencing. Heaven forbid. Welcome back to the program. You can listen coast to coast. You can catch the simulcast. We've got YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. Also, the newsletter over at Substack. I saw like two different stories about that over the weekend, and I just, it kind of, where the rise in anti-Muslim hate, in fact, there's been a rise, and I had these statistics for you last week on Friday before we adjourned and went into the weekend. Ladies and gents, we had the story of how in the past 30 years, I'm reading my notes again now, in the past 30 years, there's been an increase actually in specifically anti-Semitic, like crimes that have been, I think all crimes are driven by hate, but specifically as it relates to hatred driven by your hatred of Jewish people, that has increased in the past 30 years. Jewish Americans, according to the publicly available data that is published in those uniform crime reports and is available on this hidden thing called the internet, they have been targeted more than anybody, more than the gays, more than the gay community. And this sidesism from John Kirby. Are they like told to say that? I'm asking a serious question now. Is this something that they're told to say in all these sound bites that they go out with? Because he's not the only one who said it. Karine Jean-Pierre said it. Joe Biden has said it. Kamala Harris has said it. All of them have said it. They've all added it like some kind of caveat to the remarks that they are making about anti-Semitic attacks. How in the world do you have how many people murdered? Like 2,000 plus people? You have several hundred that are still hostages. You have a ton of people that are murdered on October 7th by Gazan government Hamas terrorists. You have Jewish students who had to be locked. They were locked into a library because they couldn't even leave. It was so unsafe. I just had the story for you literally last segment. Well, segment before last, sorry. Before headlines, where they showed how Cornell students are afraid to go to the kosher cafeteria because they're afraid of being targeted. This was the same university where the professor at Cornell, he literally said that he was exhilarated after watching the attacks on October 7th. I'm not parsing his words. I'm not taking anything out of context. That's literally what he said. That's what he said. How in the world is there... Well, you know, we've seen there's been some, right? No, there has not, unemphatically not have been. Not at all. You have elected officials who can't even bring themselves to condemn the terrorist actions that took place on October 7th. But you're going to go out, you're going to people go out, oh, well, you know, we've seen this rise. An anti-Muslim, there's not been a rise in anti-Muslim hate unless John Kirby's analysis of this is to say that to hate Hamas is to hate Muslims. Is that what he's saying? Is he saying that to hate Hamas is to hate Muslims? I'm curious because that's the only way that this could be interpreted as making any kind of sense. There's no other way to make this make sense. Well, you can't. It's like they're terrified to condemn actions against Israelis because it's going to hurt somebody's feelings out there. So they have to, oh, and also the Muslims. No one's targeting Muslims. Not a single, show me one story. One story, show me one. 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 No one has targeted them. It is insane to watch this. And yet, I feel like that's their big talking point. Cardio soundbite 8. Here you have Premier Jayapal, who says, this is an elected official. I love how they omit part of the timeline of events. Listen to this.
The United States rightly called out Russia for its siege of Ukraine, rightly called out the attacks on the power infrastructure, the refusal to provide food and water and fuel to the Ukrainians. And we have to recognize that our credibility and our authority on the moral stage is greatly diminished if we do not also call out these this siege that Israel is launching on Gaza as violations of international law. We are losing credibility, and frankly, we're being isolated.
Well, if we don't call out Israel's siege of Gaza, they act like Israel was just sitting around and going, you know what we feel like doing today? Let's go and sack Gaza. Let's go and do that. Let's go sack Gaza. Yeah, it's a great thing. Yeah. That's what it's, I mean, honestly, that's how they come off as sounding. Let's look at the timeline again. Every single time there's been a ceasefire, it's been Hamas that has violated it. Israel wasn't attacking Hamas. They weren't attacking Gaza on October 7th. But then Hamas decided that they wanted to try to sack Israel. They responded to an attack on them to deter future attacks. They responded because their citizens were still under attack. They still have hostages. And we have elected officials that are going to try to portray this as Israel is the aggressor. Isn't that a classic bully move? That's psychotic. That is absolutely psychotic. You're the person who goes and murders a bunch of people. It would be like a murderer who just carried out a mass casualty event in Maine, acting as though the police searching for that individual is somehow the aggressive act. We don't view it that way because that's insane. But yet people view Hamas, oh, suddenly they're the victims after they went and killed all these people. Suddenly they're the victims because Israel responded to Gaza's elected government. And so now Hamas is the victim. We don't look at murderers in the United States. You know, when I was watching Unfold live on television, the guy who ambushed Dallas cops a few years ago and officers responded. I mean, that was crazy. It was in the middle. They had a parade downtown. It was a BLM thing. And then cops were attacked. And then it was actually taking place outside the building where Fox had their Dallas affiliate. And they are their satellite studio. And the cops responded. They eventually shot and killed the guy. But it would be as though people would try to no one would say, oh, it's so mean. Can you believe those mean cops taking out that killer? No, because that's insane. That is insane. That's what insane people do. But yet somehow that gets completely turned on its head whenever Hamas comes into the equation. Oh, no, it's totally. You guys are just bullies. You guys are just you're the aggressor for responding to Hamas. They're the murderers here. It's just wild to me. I read this morning and I thought that this was a very good piece. My friend Kurt Schlichter, I want to read this because he's got this piece up at Town Hall. He says, if you want an indicator of how lost Western civilization has become, go to your kid's school and check their rules on fighting. And he gets into a scenario that I went through with one of my kids. One of my kids got into a fight at school, and the school said, my child defended himself, and the school had said that they were going to punish both the aggressor and then also my son for defending himself because he used violence, and he won. I mean, he whooped the bully's ass. And I told the school, I said, that's a pansy rule, and if you suspend him for any period of time, I will literally take him on a trip and I will buy him whatever he wants as a reward. I will completely negate your penalty because it's sissy and stupid. And I looked right at my husband and I went in with, I was going to be good cop and he was going to be bad cop. And then I went to nuclear cop. And so my husband had to, he's like, Daniel, put your crazy away. But that's what I looked right at. I looked right at the principal and I said that. I'm like, we will take him on vacation and we'll literally shower him with rewards. because that's what happens in the real world. UFAUFO. Now, in the end, he didn't get any kind of penalty because I'm like, this is a stupid rule. And you're teaching kids to be submissive and to not defend themselves when they have moral authority to do so. That's evil. And that's what Kurt talks on. He said that that it's a violence in defense of what is right is a moral obligation. And he goes, the rule against this was created by middle-aged divorced cat women who can neither find nor satisfy a man and live in a tranquil bubble of affluent, frivolous safety and security created by their harder, worthier forebears who understood the world's true nature. The true nature of the world is savagery. And the world's true nature, he writes, is that good is forever pitted against evil. That's never changed. He said it's unusual. He goes, the West managed to build a civilization that was, for the first time in history, perhaps since Pax Romana, and generally internally peaceful. And the West convinced itself that this was normal, but it was not normal. It was an anomaly, a glorious one, but an anomaly. The world is not a peaceful place. The world never was, and it never will be. And despite, he says, the best efforts of the arrogant left, human nature has not changed. Human nature is vicious and cruel. Rousseau's noble savage nonsense, which we're still dealing with today in the form of eager sophomores in Shea shirts slobbering over Hamas psychopaths, is a giant fraud. Savages are not distinguished by nobility. Their savagery distinguishes them. We must learn again to kill. We must learn again to destroy. And we must learn again to be ruthless in defeating our enemies. The big lie, he says, that Western civilization tells itself is that there are no real enemies, that there are no bad people except the people of the West themselves, who bear some sort of original sin for not being corrupt and inept third world barbarians. We do have enemies, he says. He goes, when they talk about killing settlers, you're the settler. What they mean to kill you. They mean raping your daughter in front of you, chopping your baby's head off. They mean slaughtering your wife, your husband, your sons, your daughters, even your dog. And they enjoy it, reveling in the ecstatic glee of mass murder and being so proud of it that they call home to their daddies and brag about it or put up their body cam videos on TikTok. He says the world was always a savage place, and what happened on October 7th was not an anomaly. It was a normality. What do you think happened to sack cities in the past, which is what these Gaza-adjacent towns in southern Israel essentially were? They captured their objective, burned and razed buildings, stole everything they could carry, raped anyone with a penis and some without, piled corpses. Actually, maybe reverse that, but he writes that. He says, we're stunned because we forgot what a sack is, but for most of human history, people have been terror of it happening to them. He says the idea that Israel should somehow give these Hamas barbarians food, water, and electrical power, even if it surrounds Gaza and prepares to attack, is mind-boggling insanity. The moral illiteracy of expecting Israel to care more about Palestinian people than other Palestinians do is simply bizarre. He says, remember the Pax Romana? Do you think peace just sort of occurred because, like, everybody shared their feelings without restraint? He talked about what Caesar did at Alesia. He says, how he had his legionnaires build a giant wall to lock the Gauls inside. Gauls called their friends to help. Caesar built another wall, had his forces keep the relief column at bay. He starved out the Alesia, and then forced the Gauls to attack and defeated them handily, and then took everything back to Rome, made his enemies march in chains, and then had the enemy strangled in front of everyone. Don't screw with civilized people or everybody dies. He says that's how you get a Pax Romana. There's no other way. And the hard truth is that the world does contain bad people. And they are bad people who must be crushed with ruthless violence. And it shocks and horrifies modern soft sensibilities. But it is a reality nonetheless. And when people want to kill you, you're at a decision point. You can either let them kill you or you can stop them. And stopping them involves some aesthetically displeasing actions like blowing them to bits. That's why they say war is hell. And that's why starting a war is not a good idea. But when someone else starts one, you got to choose. It's them or you. And if someone's going to die badly, it should be the other guys and not you. He ends, the West didn't start this fight, but they will damn well finish it. They better, or they'll finish us. It's time to stop being soft. It's time to stop lying to ourselves. Time to stop pretending that human nature took a 180 a few decades ago. We're not the same animals that we used to be just because we have Instagram. He goes, even if our leaders refuse to be clear-eyed, you can be. And he's right. So many of America's colleges and universities today are less concerned with critical thinking than with indoctrination. So it's no wonder that so many young Americans embrace cancel culture or deny free speech to conservatives and celebrate terrorism. I'm happy to report that there is an American college where students debate ideas openly and honestly, where they pursue truth together with their professors, and where America's great heritage of liberty is studied and revered, Hillsdale College. Hillsdale College continues its original mission of offering the kind of serious liberal arts education needed to preserve the blessings domains of civil and religious liberty across the land. At Hillsdale College, students grow in heart and mind by studying timeless truths in a supportive, dedicated community. To learn more about the mission of Hillsdale College, visit Dana4Hillsdale.com. There you will find a short video showing you how Hillsdale's work is effective in defending American liberty, not only on its Michigan and Washington, D.C. campuses, but across the nation. Take some time to watch today at Dana4Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com. Hillsdale College, developing minds, improving hearts.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Dossier by Hillary, right? She hires some guy that admitted, I'm sorry, it was fake. How about going home to my wife on the shower, you know, the golden shower, they called it. And I had to explain that to our great first lady. I had to explain. They said, sir, they said, when you were in Russia. Well, I was there for so short a period. And they said this thing with the golden shower. And I said, I didn't care about the other stuff. The other stuff was, you know, nuclear. This, I didn't worry about that. The golden shower was a problem for me. And I said to our great first lady, Golden, she said, nope, that one you
didn't. He's a germaphobe. That's how I knew it never happened. But that's Days of These United States. Second hour on the way. Stay with us. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of the show, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you're getting the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, military veterans, and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT and get free activation when you use offer code Dana. Join me and make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
What I will say is this. Hamas is making life extremely difficult for Israel by taking civilians as human shields and by putting their rocket infrastructure and terrorist infrastructure among civilians. That creates an added burden for Israel, but it does not lessen Israel's responsibility under international humanitarian law to distinguish between terrorists and civilians and to protect the lives of innocent people. And that is the overwhelming majority of the people in Gaza.
So what I'm going to say is not going to be popular, and it's not my problem, because I refuse to accept any responsibility or burden that Hamas has created. And anyone that argues that people should be somehow sacked or yoked with the burden of what Hamas has created, then you're a Hamas apologist. And if you refuse to criticize the terrorists that put everybody in this situation, you're part of the problem, and you're part of the reason why we keep fighting the same conflict decade after decade, century after century, I mean, generation after generation, and why it continues. Welcome back, Dana Loesch here, top of the second hour. That was Jake Sullivan, who was saying that, well, Hamas, yes, they use civilians as shields, but that doesn't lessen Israel's responsibility. I mean, we've got humanitarian. Let's talk about humanitarian whatever for a minute. First off, Geneva doesn't apply to terrorists. Terrorists can go and do something unflattering to themselves, as far as I'm concerned. Just turn them into meat dust. I don't care. But as far as Geneva Convention concerns, it's inapplicable, number one, to terrorists. Number two, quit telling Israel that it's their burden. Maybe tell the elected government of Gaza to stop it. Stop. Where's the cry for humanitarian treatment to Hamas? None of these people are they're all terrified of these barbarians. You're terrified of a barbarian terror group that was elected and runs Gaza. Why don't you tell them this? Because it's not Israel's problem. It's Hamas's problem. It's Gaza elected Hamas. Hamas chose to prosecute this. This is Hamas's problem. Hamas is the one that chose to put their headquarters in a hospital. It's Hamas's problem. Hamas is the one who chose to put their armories in places of worship and in schools and in neighborhoods. It's Hamas's problem. You know, the column that I had shared from my friend Kurt Schlichter, which I think everybody should read, because I always hate it when I hear people say, no, 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 I'm nonviolent. You're nonviolent. You've never known violence. You're not even peaceful. I don't like when people go, oh, no, I'm peaceful. How do you know you're peaceful when you've never, ever had to choose whether or not you had to act righteously in violence? It's just something that, because I see people throwing out there and pushing it as policy, people who have no experience and think that if only you, the person who's defending yourself, reacts peacefully, then the bad guys will too. This is the same psychology behind gun control. Well, if the law-abiding people just give up their guns, then, and you guys just don't have them for self-defense, you know what? Then all the crime is going to stop. The criminals are going to stop doing this. Have you noticed that? It's the same thing. They believe that only the presence of something in the hands of someone who is moral and just, if you take that choice away, then it takes the choice away for the criminals too and the bad guys too. It doesn't. It's not even remotely the same thing. But it's the psychology behind that. My friend Kurt's piece, as I was telling you, that's over at Town Hall, I think gets to the heart of this problem that a lot of people don't want to talk about. One of the reasons people don't want to talk about it is there's several. The first is that they're sissies. We are an indulgent species who are living off of the now expired credit of work done before us by braver, stronger generations who could make faster decisions. I mean, we are enjoying, especially in the Western world, a peace that was won for us. And now we're failing to learn how to keep it. It was like what John Adams, when he visited France. And John Adams, you know, he was a very unique. I think John Adams is probably besides Washington, my favorite founder. And I loved his reasoning. And he was asked at one point, you know, why is it that they weren't making fun of him, but they were fascinated by how little attention he was paying to the indulgences that they were paying attention to, right? They were enjoying music and art and finery and fashion and all of these great things at their leisure. And they were having the time of their lives. And they were asking Adams, why doesn't he just stop for a moment and enjoy some of this other stuff as well? And he and his family. And he was saying, you know, he studies war and strategy so that his kids can study English and art, and so that their kids can study music and poetry. It gets back to the old maxim of hard men create good times, weak men create bad times. It goes back to that. You know, Kurt was talking about what Caesar did and how Caesar put the fear in enemies. I mean, they locked the Gauls inside the hilltop town that they took, and then they had their besieging forces keep the relief column at bay, starved out his enemy, forced the Gauls to attack, defeated them handily, took them back to Rome, made a march in chains and triumph, and then had his defeated enemies strangled. And my friend Kurt Schlichter wrote, this is an important learning point for the barbarians. Don't screw with civilized people or everybody dies. Do you know that that is not uncivilized to have that kind of strength? People don't understand what chivalry means. That's the whole point of it. The whole point of all of this was that you have a choice. If you had a decision, you could go out into the battlefield and you could butcher barbarians and you could lay to waste evil people with evil motives who wanted to do horribly violent things to you and your family, but you would lay them to waste in the name of morality and justice. And then you would clean off your sword, get all nice and smelling good, and go back to court and be able to sit with the ladies and have a polite, genteel conversation. Being able to do both is civilized. But we've got it in our minds that, no, you can't respond to brutality with brutality. That is uncivilized. No. It's uncivilized to think it doesn't exist. And it's uncivilized to say that you cannot fight it. Because when people want to kill you, as Schlichter noted, you can either let them or you stop them. But see, people don't want to talk about the stopping them part because we get into these very aesthetically unpleasing things. Because it involves very uncomfortable conversations like the one that Jake Sullivan brought up. Hamas, you want to discuss humanitarian? Tell me about humanitarianism as these grown men hide behind women and children because they know that if those women and children that they're using as collateral damage are injured, then they can go on and they can score a propaganda point against Israel. And do you know why they keep doing it? Do you know why Hamas does this? Because the people who keep talking, like Jake Sullivan, who keep talking about humanitarianism for everyone else but Hamas, they enable them. They're enablers. And in my mind, they're as culpable because you enable this. You're enabling terrorists to do this because you see terrorists doing this over and over again and you go, oh no, Israel, stop. Stop. Look what Hamas is hiding behind these women and children. Don't you be mean, Israel. The response is never, oh my gosh, Hamas, WTF, stop. Stop using women and children. But Hamas does it because a lot of people out there enable them and let them with their stupid posts on Instagram where they talk about ceasefire in Israel. You need to treat everyone humanely. When they get on Twitter and run their mouths the same thing, they act like, oh, I'm Call of Duty. I understand war and strategy. You got to be nice, Israel. No, they don't. They've been nice. They've been nice for longer than everyone here talking about it has been alive. They've been nice. And all of these people that have enabled this with the, oh, Israel, stop. You've prolonged it to this point. So here we come back to the crux of the matter. The very aesthetically unpleasing things that now have to be done because a lot of people out there, some of the drive-bys right now listening to my voice, you are culpable. Because you ignore the atrocities that Hamas perpetuates. And the people who try to put a stop to it as aesthetically unpleasing as it is, you call their actions aggressive. So the choice is, so do you just let Hamas continue doing what they're doing? What's the solution? Because when you talk about war, war is hell. And war involves horrible decisions. But you know what? Israel did not make the rules here. Hamas did. The only reason why there is a humanitarian aspect of this in question is because of what Hamas did and does. The only reason that we're having a conversation about women and children being used as shields is because of what Hamas did and does. The only reason why we're having any of this conversation is because of what Hamas did and does. So in my estimation, we are long past the point of tickling the fancies of people who think that war should be aesthetically pleasing. It is not. It is hell and horrible things happen. And the people who are not prepared to recognize that need to do all of humanity a giant favor and shut the ever-loving hell up. And go back to wherever it was that you came from and see if you can be of some service to someone there instead of being a burden and a liability upon everyone else. We're tired of fighting wars because pansies don't want to prosecute things and end them faster, thereby endangering the lives of the more women and children that they claim to care so much about and want to save, but actually their actions speak otherwise. This is the uncomfortable truth about it. I loved this piece, and I think that this is something that this administration's not willing. It's weird. It's almost this administration realizes John Kirby understands it. but he's also shackled to this stupid President Daddy Shower Sniffs McKids administration to where they're hamstrung and they don't know their butt from a hole in the ground. They have no idea. And I get the sense that others do as well, but no one's brave enough to say it. Not in politics. We have more on the way, including the culture aspect. So apparently they're redoing Snow White. You know that one chick who went on and on about how horrible Snow White was, and we are already tired of Rachel Zegler. Well, now apparently they took out the magical people and they put in CGI dwarves. Okay, we're just bookmarked that. Kane just covered his face up. You know what that means.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So first up, America's spending spree. No, it's not sustainable. Consumers are leaning on their savings to spend. Economists are worried. Real income growth. They said fell again in September. These numbers were bad last week. It's going to be interesting to see how this affects holiday spending. They say personal savings rate, that's the share of disposable income that households save. It dipped down to 3.4% in September. That's from 4% in August. That's from the Bureau of Economic Analysis. It's a significant drop, one of the biggest since the pandemic. And that's when the savings rate soared to 32% in April of 2020. Consumer spending only rose 0.7. People are so quick to say that just shows the strength of the economy. Imagine how much it would increase if people's dollars actually kept up with. Oh, yeah. Inflation. Federal office buildings. There was an audit that was conducted, according to The Washington Times. 80% of them are vacant. It's like the back rooms. 80% of these are vacant. And they said that the agriculture department, like as an example, it was the Government Accountability Office. They surveyed 24 federal agencies. The agriculture department, roughly 90% of it sits empty. 90% sits empty. Wow. So that's pretty wild. Let's see. This is the craziest thing. I watched some of this video because I did not know how this could happen. Hockey star Adam Johnson, 29 years old. He is dead after a skate slashed his throat in a freak accident during one of the games. Now, there's some video of it. He was losing a lot of blood. I got questions because I saw how this happened, and I'm just trying to figure out why the other guy stuck his leg out like that. The other guy apparently has a history of starting problems. I'm just going to say, I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but I got a lot of questions. We should talk about that coming up. We have more on the way. Stick with us.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We've been continuously speaking to their attorney on this show, Abudo Call. He and his wife are trapped there with their one-year-old. And he told us last week that he got a letter, a notification email from the State Department, but it had no updated content in terms of a way to get out. Are the demands being made by Hamas, are any of them achievable at this point? Should they have hope?
We believe that there will be a way to get those Americans out. We'd like to do that today if we could. I don't know how close we are. We believe there's a way to do this. We just have to work at it, and we're gonna continue to do that.
So he didn't really know. He just, I don't know how close we are getting Americans out of Gaza. I just don't know. Nobody has any idea. All the confidence in the world. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this second hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. Watch the simulcast YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, Direct TV. They have no idea how close they are or if they're going to be able to get everybody out. Okay, well, it's a good thing that everybody's just lecturing Israel to that point. I like the point that Kirby made, which was opposite to what Jake Sullivan said. And to an extent, this is audio soundbite 5, because Jake Sullivan, last segment before headlines, remember, he was saying, well, yes, Hamas uses civilians as shields, as human shields, but that doesn't mean you have to obey, the humanitarian stuff. Kirby is a little different. Listen to this.
We have, since almost the very beginning hours of this conflict, talked about the need to respect civilian life, talk about abiding by the laws of war, cautioned and urged our Israeli counterparts to be careful how they conduct these operations so that they minimize civilian casualties. Hamas, on the other hand, uses civilians to hide behind. They actually put the civilians out in front. Rather than protecting civilians, they're putting civilians at greater danger. And I will tell you this about Russia and Ukraine. Atrocities against the Ukrainian people, that's part of Putin's war aims. That's built into his strategy. Look at what he did in Bucha. I mean, that, you know, killing innocent, slaughtering innocent Ukrainians, that's part of their strategy inside Ukraine. That is not what we're seeing.
I think that's important that Kirby made that distinction. And I think during this time when the administration can't seem to get a foothold on proper messaging, I mean, literally last week we started the whole show off with Biden saying, yes, there should be no ceasefire. I mean, don't. It's important to be clear and concise and touch on very important nuances. And I think Kirby is the only person in this administration that will do that. Now, I don't like the administration that he's speaking for, and I have never agreed with everything that this man has said. But he is the only person in the administration, the only one who made that nuance that he just did there. And I think that that is significant and it should be recognized. I think Jake Sullivan should never be allowed to be in front of a microphone. Jake Sullivan is one of the worst mouthpieces I have ever seen. He is a tragedy on legs. He is just horrible. Go out there, doesn't listen to, shut up, Jake Sullivan. Whereas John Kirby goes, that's not an aim of Israel to kill innocent civilians. That's what Putin does, but that's not what Israel does. And then he mentions Hamas is the one who's using him. That's how Jake Sullivan should have answered. But he didn't because he sucks out loud so bad at his job. And he's just, I think he's horrible. Probably personally as well. I don't like him. Am I conveying that strongly enough? Whereas Kirby was, he gave the answer that Jake Sullivan, if he was more educated and more of a quick thinker, he should have given. And so they really only should have Kirby talk. They should not have a single other person out there talking except for John Kirby. I mean, it's now, granted, I started this program blasting him for saying, well, there's also a rise in anti-Muslim hate. The reason that I'm blasting it for that is because I think that's a talking point that they're that the administration is putting out there. I think that they're insisting to say to do well, but these guys too. Doesn't it feel like that? It feels like they're insisting that you say this, and it's. I mean, it's incredible. It's just not accurate, not even remotely. So the Biden administration was it last week or the week before? They were creating some kind of, I think it was last week we talked about this. They were creating this outreach group, whatever you want to call it, to combat what they were just so afraid of, a rise in anti-Muslim, you know, sentiment. Well, now, finally, they are unveiling new actions to combat anti-Semitism on college campuses after what's described as an alarming uptick in incidents since the Hamas attack on Israel. And the administration, they said that they wanted to, quote, track hate-related rhetoric online and provide federal resources to schools, according to this stupid, idiotic plan that was shared with NBC. What do you mean? Just, these are rich, I'm sorry, but Harvard doesn't need, I almost said Hamas, same thing. Harvard doesn't need federal resources. They are super wealthy. They have a $1 billion endowment. They don't need anything. They just need to not be raging bigots. Just don't. To quote Biden. That's all. They don't need federal. Why is it that everybody, their answer, and I put, what is it? What's his face? Vivek Ramaswamy in there. Every answer is always, we need federal government to do this. We need some federal government response. We need more federal government. Thirsty? Government. Have a drink of government. Hungry? Have some government. Tired? Why don't you have some government? Take a government. Everything. That's everybody's answer. It's like the seagulls in Finding Nemo. Instead of mine, they're government, government. So they're partnering to track hate-related rhetoric online. What the hell is that going to do? You don't need to go online to look at, right? Look at the campuses, you morons. I mean, they literally, at George Washington University, they literally put up Celebrate the Martyrs. Like, somebody went and got a jam projector, and they made graphics for it, a little cutout. They put it up, and they literally projected it. I'm saying that word a lot today, and I mean to. On the side of a building. You have Jewish students who are over there who have family in Israel. Some of them have family that were kidnapped and killed. And they're watching the Hamas fluffers on their campuses put up stuff about their martyrs. That's pretty unsettling, right? So you don't need to look at stuff online, you jackwagons. You need to actually go to the campuses and look at that. How about this? Don't be a bigot. Or maybe handle the cases where somebody gets their ass beat for being a bigot with a little bit of a lighter hand. Because what have I said? Self-defense. In the name of justice, you know what I'm saying? Make bullying great again. I need that on a hat. Actually, I should call Pat Jobs and be like, I'm gonna get it. It may not work in every context except all of mine, but I just think. But they said they went cyber. Why are they focusing on online? The problem is literally them on campus. What is looking at stuff said online? How is it going to help Cornell students who can't even go to the kosher cafeteria because they're worried about their own safety? And here you got the Bidens. Well, we got some cybersecurity people here going to track the rhetoric online. What is that going to do about the kids who can't even go eat at the cafeteria at Cornell? Golly. This is an actual sentence. Well, I couldn't even read the rest of it because I got hung up on the first four words. Second gentleman, Doug Emhoff. You're not even the first man. Oh, man. That's so bad. Wait, okay, can we just stop there? I'm going to sidebar here for a moment. This is very confusing. Why is he second man? Now, I know you're going to tell me, Kane, it's because he's VP's husband, right?
Right.
So they have the first lady, which is the wife of the president.
Right.
Second lady is the wife of the VP.
Right.
Okay, so the last I checked, Jill Biden is a chick.
Yeah.
Unless there's something that, you know. So wouldn't he be first man?
I see your point.
This doesn't make any sense.
I see your point.
He's not even first man. They can't even say he's first man. Is Kamala first? Is she first man and vice president? Like, what's that? Why is he second man? Second gentleman.
Because I guess they didn't think any further than second lady, second gentleman.
It's just so stupid.
Yeah.
Right?
I see what you're saying. Because Jill is not a man.
If she was a good vice president, then I wouldn't make fun of him for being in this role. But she's not good. She's a placeholder, and it makes him look even more beta. You know what I mean? It's like it's not even necessary. It just looks like redundant. You have a woman who's being a weak man in this job and a man who is second gentleman. I don't know. I've got a lot of very controversial opinions on this. But why is he second gentleman? Okay, back to the story. So him and Education Secretary Miguel Cardona, they're going to meet with Jewish organizations to discuss the issue of growing anti-Semitism at colleges on Monday. Why is it that Emhoff is meeting? He's VP, husband. I don't know. So they're going to send over Cardona and Emhoff. Now, they said that they're highlighting the Education Department's Office for Civil Rights, and they've expedited an update on its complaint form. So they're going to make it clear of Title VI of the Civil Rights Act. You can't prohibit certain forms of anti-Semitism. Oh, and Islamophobia. Got to add that in there. Got to tack it on. Steve makes this point, and I get what he's saying. Steve is saying that Emhoff is Jewish, and I understand that, but they couldn't have like an act like Jewish leaders they don't have any other Jewish leaders in the administration. It's just weird. Like Emhoff, the reason why I think it's weird because it's Emhoff is he's literally doesn't do anything. I've never seen him out doing anything. And all of a sudden he comes out for this. It's just weird to me. Oh, let the second man do it. Well, technically he's the first man. No, he's not. I just have so many issues here. But they have to attack the Islamophobia. Literally, no one is doing Islamophobia. Nobody's doing this. You can't, heaven forbid, we allow that, you know, the Jewish people to feel like they're the only victims here in this. Good grief. This is some Sean King type stuff. Oh my gosh, that guy, Talcum X. My word. He's white. I mean, he is white as white could be. I mean, he is Caucasian. And I'm not saying that or as Kane says, Martin Luther Cream. That's what he's called. I didn't make up these names for him. The internet did. Specifically, a lot of black commentators made up some very creative names that are hysterical to read about Sean King. He was saying that he had been negotiating feverishly to get a family out of Gaza. And then the family's like, who? Who is this? Who? We don't ever talk to him. Golly, this guy. Now we have Florida Man on the way. And then coming up, so they decided that Snow White was going to be a bomb. And they say that it was delayed because of the writer's strike. We all know that's a lie. Because all of a sudden now they have CGI dwarves that look dumb. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have this conversation about culture.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So, here's this headline. A Florida man bashed a woman's head into a tree stump because she woke him up on her way to the bathroom. They were camping, which is pretending to be homeless. I'm not kidding. Look, I love the outdoors. I love it if you love to camp. I don't, but I love being outdoors. I'm going to go back to my hotel room. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm not going to apologize for it. I also love campfires. But this is not about me. Okay, it's about this guy. He was arrested after he allegedly bashed a woman's head into a tree stump because she woke him up on the way to the bathroom. Marion County Sheriff's Office said that Eric Barr was arrested and charged with domestic aggravated battery after the incident that unfolded Friday at the Silver Springs Skate Park campsite. State Park. Sorry, Skate Park sounds way cooler. State Park campsite. I was trying to say state and camp at the same time. Deputies on routine patrol in the area were dispatched. There was a verbal disturbance, possible battery. When the deputy arrived, he found the victim very shaken up. She had spots of blood on her hands, arms, and legs. She was in an argument with Barr, said they were drinking. They had been drinking, and she woke him up. She pointed to the back of her head. It was just very bloody. And they requested emergency medical services. And she told deputies that Barr hit her with a stump. And he said that, you know, she woke him up to go to the bathroom because she broke the zipper on the tent they were sleeping in. And he goes, it messed the tent up to where it began to break down and collapse. So he got mad and hit her head into a tree. Well, if he was tired before, he's going to be tired now because now he's not going to have time to sleep. He's going to be taken into custody. A video showed a flight school student. He wanted to, he got angry when he showed up at the Treasure Coast flight training to take his first solo flight, and he was told no. So he went to rage and broke the main engine throttles in 10 different airplanes. That makes me never want to fly in any plane that this guy would ever pilot, ever. Another Florida man was accused of hiding drugs in his candy stash. Milky weed. No, that's not. Just in time for Halloween. He was trying to hide his drugs in his candy, and he was got charged anyway with trafficking 28 grams plus of cocaine and all kinds of other stuff. And then he was a convicted felon. He had guns and all the stuff that he wasn't supposed to have. But he literally put it in candy wrappers. And deputies said there was literally an overwhelming smell of marijuana coming from the car. And then we saw this candy and it looked weird. Well, yeah, that'll do it. Stick with us. Third hour on the way.
People who are calling for a ceasefire now do not understand Hamas. That is not possible. It would be such a gift to Hamas because they would spend whatever time there was a ceasefire in effect rebuilding their armaments, you know, creating stronger positions to be able to fend off an eventual assault by the Israelis.
That's
so we're in a very different world. I don't think it had to be the world we're in, but that's where we are, and we've got to figure our way forward through it.
I don't want to say that what she said there was correct, because it's her. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you, top of this third hour. Listen across the country. Watch it simulcast. 347 Direct TV, YouTube, Facebook. I don't want to say that she's correct, Kane, because it's her.
Is it her, though?
She's in a Snuggie.
Yeah, Snuggies can hide.
That's a wearable blanket.
Hide bodies. Who knows how many bodies?
But
Clinton's
why?
Had
I mean,
hid.
I don't want to say the positive term. Yes, a ceasefire would be a gift for Hamas. I don't want to repeat what she said and act like I'm agreeing with it because it's her. But I don't want to not agree with the idea that a ceasefire is stupid, because only one side ceases firing and Hamas just keeps on going.
Right. So I think her motivations are different than yours, right? Yours are...
You don't even think that's her.
No.
You think it's just some broad in a Hillary mask wearing a Snuggie.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
No, wait, stop, full stop. This is not Mission Impossible with the Hollywood mask.
Yeah. We all saw the video of her getting in that van and losing a flat.
Remember she lost that? A Tory Burch slipper.
Yeah, she did.
I'm assuming it was because it was shaped like it.
And then we didn't see Hillary for quite a while after that. And then she resurfaced.
I think it was her because she's still mean.
Yeah.
It's real hard to be that mean and unlikable consistently, I think.
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of tape to learn from. A lot of time to learn.
But she's in a Snuggie.
That's totally a Snuggie.
You can put a button on it all you want to. Lady, that's a blanket.
I didn't know.
It's a blanket.
I didn't know Snuggies came in white. I thought they were all blue.
I am going to make a joke here. Because you know...
No.
Kane.
Stop it already.
Who wore giant white blankets? Ghosts. What are you thinking of?
Oh, is that where you're going?
And the Klan! Okay. It's a Klan, Kane!
My bad. I really thought...
I mean, she's in a giant white blanket. It fits. You know, makes sense. She's in her Klan Snuggie. Having my Black Rifle coffee. They're so strong. I think I'm going to have hair on my chest. it's so strong. Wow. It's very good. I'm trying to just start. Forgive me for being inarticulate, but I don't want to say I agree with her. Now, I will give credit where due, but she is really evil. And I don't want to hear about broken clocks because she is an evil demon clock.
No, you didn't let me finish what I was going to say.
Demonic clock of demoness. Yes.
Her motivation's different than your motivation. Ceasefire, you already know calling for a ceasefire means Hamas is not going to honor that.
Right.
That's just the thing. Hillary doesn't want a ceasefire because it feeds war ink. And I think she's part of that whole faction.
Wouldn't it prolong it more and feed war ink longer to just prolong this area of tension? Because it's going to be a quick, it would be a quick payoff for war. I'm just going with her logic. If she thinks that war ink would get paid if there wasn't a ceasefire, but then Israel is going to end all it's just going to end Hamas and it's going to be done. And then that's it. Then that's all they want to do.
Is that what's going to happen?
That's all they want to do. They have no interest in
dragging
this out.
No, I get that. And just like we've said with every other war that we've had since...
It's not like it's Libya.
Who knows when. We're like, we should be decisive, be in and out, done, get the job done, and be out of there. And we don't do that. We haven't done that for decades.
I just want to tell you guys what happened when... Because Kane and Juan, I think they talk about face masks when they're not at work. Because I was like, I don't want to say I agree with her. And Kane's like, yeah, it's not her though. And then Juan out of nowhere. Yeah, it's a mask. Just out of nowhere. Like they are both, they just both left a Hillary Clinton is a fake woman meeting. And here are all the other fake Democrat politicians wearing masks meeting. And then they came to work.
I don't know. She looks rested and healthy there. That is not the Hillary I know.
Well, yeah, evil makes you ugly. That's what my grandma always said. And I would.
It's true.
Yeah. She's like, oh, evil makes them ugly. I'm like, oh, okay. All right, there you go. There's some ugly, nice people,
wrong.
Grandma.
There's
some
ugly,
nice people out there. But she just looked at me and blinked. I could hear her audibly blink in a response. Anyway, so a ceasefire, again, when you go, we need a ceasefire, what you get is Israel would cease firing, but Hamas wouldn't. Ta-da. So it's not a ceasefire. Just for the same reason you can't have a two-state solution. Because Hamas never wanted one. It's literally in their charter. I love all these bougie people who are just so eager for a scene. The scenesters. And they get out there. Why isn't there let's have peace. Let's have ceasefire. Let's have a two-state solution. And then without realizing that all of these things have been rejected prior. So Yeah, that's not going to work. But here is Representative Jayapal. There's more of her. She has the she wants to nice Hamas out of aggression. Nice them out, not ice them out. Nice them out. Listen, audio somebody 10. Sorry.
My response is that we need immediate, sustained humanitarian aid to flow into Gaza. Okay. We need the bombings, and you know, you can call it a humanitarian truce, as 140 countries said in the resolution that was passed at the United Nations. The United States was one of only 14 countries to oppose that resolution.
Yeah, we were right.
Call it a humanitarian truce. Use that time to make sure we get the hostages out, both American hostages and Israeli hostages.
You're not going to get them out. You're going to have to go kick in doors and just obliterate things, first off. But she's like, yes, you got to use a humanitarian truce. We need aid. Nobody is responsible. No. What, you know what? Aid was sent for decades into Gaza. And Hamas, what do they do? They built tunnels and they built entire... It's like, what is the company, the bad company in Raccoon City that made the big giant Umbrella Corporation? Yeah, it's the Umbrella Corporation in Resident Evil. They have like, they have an Umbrella Corporation-like headquarters legit under a hospital in Gaza City. For real. A tunnel system, it's lit. They got all kinds of stuff there. No, it is not everybody else's responsibility to keep doing this for the elected government of Gaza, who chose to go and terrorize everybody. It's not everybody else's responsibility. That might be displeasing to some, but that's the reality of the situation. And you're not going to if we're just nice to the terrorists... They murdered people at an actual peace festival. Did you see the people at the peace festival? They were hippies. Hippies. They were eating nuts and wearing Birkenstocks. They are hippies. Hippies are hippies everywhere. It does not matter. But they were over there dancing like hippies to hippie music, being hippies and being all peace. That's all they wanted. Peace, man. It was actually called a peace festival. Hippies at a peace festival. I don't know what, is there anything more, less aggressive? I think even like newborn baby kittens are more aggressive than this. And Hamas still went in, paraglided in and shot everybody from the sky, which to me, it was like, that's a duck hunt opportunity right there. You try to Red Dawn that stuff in the United States and you're going to have a lot of very excited people who are very excited about getting out their shotguns and being like, well, I didn't have to go to the range for, you know, skeet shooting today. So don't, to quote Biden, but an actual peace festival. And they murdered everybody, murdered almost everybody there. So you're not going to nice your way out of this. It's not going to happen. I don't know. The whole thing is wild to me. I wanted to play this. This was audio soundbite 14. I listened to this. I thought this was very clever. Now, let me explain this. So this is Jared Kushner. He just went over to the... I'm confused. There are some people who say that they're hardcore MAGA that are not Kushner fans, and I don't get it. I'm trying to figure this out. Anyway, he recently was over in Saudi Arabia at this big expo. He was speaking over there. And he came back and he was being asked about the raging anti-Semitism on college campuses around the, particularly like the bougie ones here in the United States. And keep in mind, you have the Abraham Accords, which, you know, Bahrain, you had UAE, you had all of these nations sign on to them. Saudi Arabia, in the same interview, he said it would like to partner and is inclined to signing it. So that's why I thought it was very interesting that he named Saudi Arabia in this specifically. Listen to this, audio soundbite 14.
Yeah, so it was a very interesting time to be over there, and I've been there many times before. One of the ironies is that as an American Jew, you're safer in Saudi Arabia right now than you are on a college campus like Columbia University.
He's not wrong. But how interesting. He points this out, and he's also giving credit to Saudi Arabia. Well, you're safer in Saudi Arabia than you are as an American Jew on a college campus right now. Further encouraging, that's like it's a different way to encourage Saudi Arabia to sign on to this, which, by the way, them getting close to this, as these other Arab nations have done. This is one of the reasons why Iran is having such a fit and why Hamas is doing what it's doing. So this was very interesting. I thought that was a very clever response to that question that spans two different issues, the college campus issue, and then you're touching on the Abraham Accords. So what is going to happen with that? Notice how that's like not even a priority for this administration anymore when it should be, because that's where you're increasing your allyship over there. We're going to talk about that here as well.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Tuberville says, yeah, he's going to keep on blocking the military promotions. Doesn't matter what else happens, so long as Democrats want to politicize everything and try to shove in, you know, the unnecessary trans surgery funded by taxpayers and taxpayer-funded abortion on demand as birth control. He told that to CNN. Good. He goes, so if they want to, they'd rather burn down the Senate than negotiate, is what he said. Good for him. Hold your ground, dude. Hold your ground. It's apparently also, let's see, for the second Halloween in a row, U.S. candy inflation has hit double digits. Now, wait. What candy is it, though? Is it like all candy? Is it the good stuff? Is it just the junky stuff? Because some candy is better than other candy. Not all candy is equal. So, of course, there has been an increase in candy prices for the second Halloween in a row. What is like, they said that, I think it's a lot of chocolate because cocoa prices are high. They said they're at 44-year highs after heavy rains in West Africa. Literally, Toto just blasted into my head right as I said the sentence. Caused limited production in the season that began last fall. Now El Nino. Those conditions are making the region drier, and they said there's not going to be any relief in sight. I don't care how expensive chocolate we'll get. I will literally only eat that if I can't afford anything else because it is too good. It's too good. Okay, so how old is it? How old is too old to trick or treat? I feel like we got to talk about this. How old is too old? There's a piece over at a website that I hate where they are saying that, you know, if you're old, look, if you're an older, I think once you're out of high school, you're too damn old. Because then you're just a welfare recipient. You're just a grown ass adult begging for food. So stop, it's weird. But if you're in school, that's fine. But I think the moment that you get into become a freshman in high school, you better come with a joke or something. You better come prepared. You better be in a costume. If you're an older teenager, you're a senior in high school and you're just coming out with a pillowcase and you're not even dressing up. Oh, hell no. No, we're not doing that. Then you better be giving me something like you're a serial killer or you're. You could do what I did when I was in high school. And it was just because I was pretentious and annoying, not because I was, you know, broke, but it was because I went as a feeling. Yeah, that was horrible. Anyway, let's see. Also, moving down the line, LAPD's YouTube channel was suspended for posting violent content. Well, it is LAPD. They had their YouTube channel suspended. I didn't know they had one, but they had a video of a violent assault that occurred in Venice, California, late September. They said the account had been suspended. They posted video of a brutal attack, and they said they appealed the suspension. They were denied, but it showed they were asking for people's help in identifying the people involved. And I mean, I think that that's kind of important to be able to, if you're relying on the public's help, and YouTube's like, no, we're just going to make it impossible for you to. That come on. I think the algorithms are just ridiculous. Let's see, and a couple of others here. I don't really care about this Indonesia Rose story. Worst October stocks in 5 years have investors exiting the market. Yeah, it's bad. Really bad. And then last but not least, the Chinese parent of a U.S. battery maker has business ties with a blacklisted CCP paramilitary group. Yeah, it's a Daily Caller piece. We're going to talk about this and more coming up. Stick with us.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Gavin Newsom, who's in China. He was in China playing. He just like steamrolled over this little kid playing basketball. And then he like grabbed him in a bear hug and spanked him. Like, what in the world? This kid's probably like, this is scary. The kid was trying to get away from him. Can we just get the part where he like grabbed him as he's falling and he grabs him. I mean, how are you that bad? I had asked Kane this and Juan, he falls over. He couldn't. Oh no, what was that? He's not going to spin it on his finger. If you're watching the simulcast, and he's for, and then he runs right into this kid and then picks him and wrestles him, spanks him. What in the world? And then hits him again. He's beating this child, wrestling and beating this kid. That was weird. He spanked him. Like, he actually, I mean, I know it was supposed to, it was weird, though. You don't need to go touching somebody else's kid's butt, okay? Especially in China. You don't need to be doing that, because that's, I don't think it translates, yo. I don't think it's the same thing. That was weird. Why is he so weird? He is so awkward. He follows me on Twitter, and I have no idea why. I have no clue. Why, if you were him, why would you follow me on social media? For real. That doesn't make any sense. I know. I don't get it. As I said, welcome back. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, chapter and verse. Yeah, he was over there, gruesome Newsom. Now Biden's going to go. Now Biden's going to meet with Xi Jinping. This is not going to go well. It's not going to go well at all. Now he's going to meet with Xi Jinping. Because it's just very curious to me that it happened after Newsom went. Or am I reading too much into it? No. Don't you feel like there's a cold war between Newsom and Biden? Everyone's talking about Nikki Haley and all this stuff over here. I don't care about any of this stuff. I just don't care, because she's not pulling anything away from Trump. It's just other. It's not. I don't care. And she took Tim Scott stuff from South Carolina. I don't care. I don't care about any of that until we get closer to Iowa. But that the media wants you to focus on all of that. They are obsessed with the Republican factions. But the more they talk about that, the more they don't have to talk about theirs. Nobody likes Kamala. No one likes her. I mean, she is, I think Sweet D on Always Sunny has more admiration from the people around her than Kamala Harris does from this administration. And then you have the Newsom-Biden thing. It's weird, because Newsom's doing his own little presidential thing. But not really. I'm for Biden, he says. Very, very odd. Also odd. The story of the Maine killer. I'm going to pull this up here, because this is... I mean, they found the guy. He apparently committed suicide. He shot himself. And here's the other... Police had visited his house weeks before the massacre. So there, this is where we need them to now give us this information, because we were told he was apparently involuntarily committed when he was in New York because he threatened to shoot up his base. And when they, when he went to purchase, he was trying to buy a silencer. I'm going to pull this story up. He was trying to buy a silencer, and he went to this FFL and was trying to go through the process. And on the 4473 that he was filling out, when I was looking at the state, they said that he apparently filled out that he had been committed on his form, and the FFL didn't make the sale because of that. They just were like, well, you know. I thought that was kind of interesting, because so that to me, if they're saying that, then it doesn't, because he went into, what was this? I think this is in New York. This was in July that he tried to make this purchase. So this was in New York, and it was Coastal Defense Firearms. You'll forgive me. I'm pulling this up. And he tried to purchase this. ABC said that he failed to make a purchase because he self-incriminated on the form, because he had said that he had been committed. And the guy had said, you know, we let him finish, fill out the form. And then we said, we cannot give you this. You know, at this point in time, we cannot release this to you because of the answer you've given us. And that's, you know, that's what they were following the law that was made. But he still went, this guy still went and murdered a bunch of people. And I hate the way that the media was writing about it. They're like, oh, well, you know, maybe lives would have been saved then, because he wasn't able to purchase the silencer, you know, then they wouldn't have been able to hear the gunshots. Oh my gosh. People who say this have not, look, I get it. Everybody's seen John Wick, and they've seen John Wick, and they saw Common in that one scene where they were exchanging fire in this public place, and it sounds like pew, pew. It's actually quite loud. It's super, you hear it. There's no mistake as to what it is. It's just less loud than super loud, but it's loud. Oh my gosh, stop. The police, though, had visited him, and this is where we need more information. So in July, he had been committed, right? And then there was apparently, and they have not said if this was related to the first, they just said that they had something mid-September, they were supposed to, he had apparently made threats again against his fellow. Was this one situation or was it multiple situations? Was it, because the first bolo that went out, they said that he had been committed in summer. Is this something separate? Is this is why we need more information, because apparently he was, and I'm sharing this information because it suggests that this guy was known. And he should have been, if he's committed, because apparently the same police say that he was committed for 2 weeks. And at that point in New York, if you're committed in New York, I mean, what was there a process that he went through, an adjudication process? And from that process, were there conditions placed upon his release, i.e., did he have to meet with a mental health professional, etc.? And then because you have the SAFE Act in New York, because remember this, he apparently, they're saying that he was saying he was going to shoot up his base in New York. So if he's committed in New York, the SAFE Act requires they have to call and get a hold of their Division of Criminal Services, and then they pull to see if the guy has a firearms permit. And if he's got a firearms permit, they show up and they confiscate your stuff. That's New York SAFE Act. That's what happens if you're committed. You do all the, that's exactly how this happens. So, because at that point, you're a prohibited possessor if you've been committed. The law, was it not followed? And then all the talk about yellow laws and red flag laws, not a single one of these laws that any of these gun control lobby members have called for worked. None of them worked. The gun control law that made the bowling alley a gun-free zone didn't work. Wasn't a law, it was a sign that they put. They can say that for your business, but when you advertise that you are a defenseless zone and you don't leave innocent people who might want to protect themselves with the option to do so, then that's problematic. And so it's sad. It's incredibly sad. But notice that as more information came out about that, the media kind of got quiet on it, unfortunately. Have you guys seen the video of this hockey player who was basically kicked in the neck by a guy's skate and it cut his throat open and he bled out and he died. He later died from the wounds. This is one of the craziest things I've ever seen. And the more I watch this video, the more I'm just shocked at this. Now, it has this, I'm pulling this up, for bear with me for a moment, because I have the video up that I wanted to, I don't necessarily want to show the video on the simulcast because it is of a guy who's being killed, but Adam Johnson was on the ice and he gets he's like kicked in the neck. I mean, you can't tell me that this wasn't intentional. Whether the guy intended to slit his throat with his ice skate, I mean, that would have to be very, you know, that might be a chance, but you can't tell me that the guy didn't throw his leg out there not knowing, because he didn't. I understand, I've seen people when they're, you know, watching hockey, grew up in, you know, St. Louis, you have St. Louis Blues, you watch hockey. I've seen people, you know, throw their leg out to take the other guy down, and it's always low. This guy legit, like he was doing an arabesque ballet move, kicks his leg up in the air all the way up. This wasn't him trying to regain his balance. When I'm looking at it, this guy, I mean, I think that should be a manslaughter charge. The guy who kicked him. Kane and I were talking about this. I mean, it's not kickboxing, it's hockey. And this is awful. Oh my gosh. And the guy was bleeding out all on the ice. It was horrific. Horrific. And they keep saying that it's a freak accident. I don't think it was an act. I mean, that did the other player want him to intentionally die? I don't think he did. But that doesn't mean that it can't be a manslaughter charge. I mean, this is wild. Just absolutely wild. Johnson had played for Pittsburgh Penguins for two seasons. He was playing with an elite hockey league on Saturday when it happened. And he was 29 years old. And it was cut by a skate blade. And apparently his girlfriend ran out on the ice to pray by him. And they just keep saying that it was a freak accident. It doesn't look like a freak accident. I mean, I don't know. And apparently the guy who was responsible, everybody's being really careful, like not to, I was pulling up his name. He apparently has a history of, you know, he's kind of a belligerent player. I don't know. Kane, I mean, to me, it looks like it's manslaughter.
Yeah, I mean, there is a legal argument for that. I just look at it as he was trying to check one of those forwards that looked like it was skating a little too fast for him. So he was going after the second forward who's carrying the puck just past the blue line. And by trying to do that, he lost his balance, his leg went up, and there it is. So it could go either way. You're justified in saying there should be manslaughter charges, but there's also justification to say this was an accident. So I don't know.
I mean, it's I don't know how. I mean, like I said, the video. I don't want to show the video on the simulcast, but it's. I mean, it is absolutely brutal. But when you watch it, it's so hard to think that just because, you know, his legs up went up so high. I don't know. It looks bad. Didn't they? Lorraine had said that had happened before, like back in the 90s. I know that they suggest, what is it, like neck protection of some sort, but it's not mandated. I mean, it is incredibly rare. Yeah, it's incredibly rare that somebody is a moron and sticks their leg up like that. I mean, it looked intentional. It looked like the guy was intentionally trying to hurt him. There's a difference between he's trying to hurt him and then trying to cut his head off. But yeah, I mean, I keep seeing this, and I mean, he stuck his leg out like he's gonna on purpose. That was not an accident. Just so sad. It's sad that the guy's mom, his parents saw this, like his whole family saw it. He's 29 years old. So police said that they're investigating. So they're apparently investigating this, and we'll see what happens. As we have a number of other things too, including Eventbrite being bigots. Eventbrite won't allow Riley Gaines having a Protecting Women's Sports event, but they'll go ahead and they'll allow all kinds of stuff for Hamas and everything else. I saw this. Find something else to use besides Eventbrite for all of your functions from here on out, because you never know. They may deplatform you.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
You heard that right. The Bible doesn't just inform his worldview. It is his worldview. In fact, during his first speech in his new job, Johnson suggested that his election as speaker was an act of God. Talk about a bit of a humble brag there. So what exactly has God apparently called on Mike Johnson to do? Well, his views on policy are essentially what you'd expect from a religious fundamentalist. They're more divisive than they are divine.
Teleprompters are hard. Fundamentalist. She is so dry. It hurts. I can't wrap my mind around her approach here. She's shocked that he's a Christian. Can you believe it? He actually believes in the Bible. I'm going to lean forward. Why is that so shocking? Why is that so shocking to people? Good grief. They got mad because what he prayed on the floor with some other Republican lawmakers last week after he won speakership, and everyone freaked out. Have they not seen prayer before? What did they think? Wait, why are those people coming together and they're forming a circle? Are they going to play a hacky sack? What's happening? I don't see a hacky sack. What is it? Oh my gosh, they're bowing their heads and they're placing hands on each other's shoulders. Are they having it's a football huddle, right? They're talking about the Lord. Is this a prayer? Is this praying? Maybe if you guys weren't such heathens, you'd recognize it and you wouldn't be so freaked out. Just saying. Good heavens. How weird. I mean, has there not been prayer like that on the floor in a while? Is that why they're all freaking out?
Probably.
Jen Psaki, though, on MSNBC, that clip, that was just painful. I mean, it doesn't just inform his worldview. It is his worldview. Fundamentalist. Oh, wow. Okay. You know. Well, teleprompters are hard, not just for Joe Biden, apparently. Today in Stupidity Game.
Well, it's Biden's State Department spokesman, Matt Miller. All right. So he's expecting refugees from this Israel and Hamas conflict, but also Palestinian land. Is that a real thing? Is Palestinian land a real thing? Well, Matt Miller thinks it is. Listen to this.
We have had to make clear when you have regional instability like we have here, we have to make reasonable planning expectations for the possibility of refugees. But we have made quite clear that our position is that Palestinians deserve the right to stay on Palestinian land.
What is Palestinian land? That doesn't exist.
Good question.
There's no such thing as Palestinian land. Yeah. There's no such country as Palestine that's existed throughout history. There's no such people as Palestinians. This is all just like a new thing. They're trying to go back from, again, a nickname that Hadrian spitefully gave land that after quelling the second Judean uprising to further disassociate Jewish people from their land. And Yasser Arafat made this whole thing a phenomenon. But it's not supported by antiquity. It's fake, like assault weapons. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.